Grace be unto you and peace from the triune God, the God of all glory, the God of all splendor, the God who freely shares his glory and his splendor with us, his dearly beloved children. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever stopped to consider just how important light is? If you were asked to choose, which one would you prefer, light or darkness? Most of us, I think, would automatically choose light. Life as we know it is dependent on light, isn't it? If there were no light whatsoever, all the plants would die, all the animals would die, and we human beings would die. We who experience light every single day of our life might think that we know what true darkness is like, but in reality, we do not. Even in the middle of the night, even if we turn off all the lights, there is still enough ambient light that we can see once our eyes have a chance to adjust. The only way that we could possibly experience true darkness is to go deep down inside of a cave. If you have ever been in the darkness of a cave, then you know how oppressive and how frightening it can be. You literally cannot see your hand in front of your face. It should not surprise us then when light is a major theme recorded on the pages of Holy Scripture. In fact, do you remember the very first words of God that we find printed in the Bible? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, we're told, "And God said, let there be light." The season of Epiphany is also a season of light. The season of Epiphany begins with the light of that special star, guiding the wise men so that they can find the one who has been born King of the Jews. The season of Epiphany also shines a special light on aged Simeon, who praised the sovereign Lord for fulfilling his promise and sending into this world the one who is a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. It is only fitting then, my friends, that as the season of Epiphany comes to a close today, that we once again focus our attention on the subject of light. Today then, as we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's focus on this truth. The light of the transfiguration continues to shine. Our text for today begins by highlighting a critically important truth. Look at what Paul writes. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Here, Paul continues a picture that began in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where he compares the glory of the old covenant, the covenant that God gave to his people through his servant Moses, with the surpassing glory of the new covenant, the covenant that is based on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ. As we heard in our Old Testament lesson for today, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after receiving the law directly from the God of heaven himself, his face was so radiant that he not only frightened his brother Aaron, but he also frightened all the people of Israel. And so after Moses had finished talking with the people of Israel, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he went to talk directly with the Lord his God, he removed that veil. Paul uses that picture to remind us that the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is veiled to those who are perishing. Why? Why is it veiled to them? Because as Paul says here in our text, Satan, the god of this age, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. When a blind person is not able to see the sun, That's not because the sun is not there. It's not because the sun has stopped shining, but it's simply because they are blind. When those who are perishing in their unbelief do not believe or trust in the true message of the gospel, it's not because the gospel is untrue. It's not because the gospel has somehow lost its power. It's because the God of this age has blinded their hearts and blinded their minds. They are living with a dark shroud of death covering their face. They are stumbling through this sin-darkened world, whether they realize it or not, like a blind person, desperately trying to find their own way out of a deep, dark cave. Because the unbelievers are living with that dark veil shrouding their face, because the unbelievers have been blinded by the God of this age, we should not be surprised when they cannot see, when they cannot appreciate the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The darkness of unbelief is their default setting. The darkness of unbelief is all that they know. The darkness of unbelief guarantees that when they look at the cross on Calvary's Hill, it seems like utter foolishness to them. And let's not forget, my friends, that at one time, we too were blinded by the God of this age. Let's not forget that at one time, we too had that dark veil covering our eyes. Are we still blind? Do we still have that veil that is preventing us from seeing the true light? Not at all. How? Why? Look at what Paul says. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts. The very same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light, is the very same God who uses the power of his holy word and the power of his holy sacraments to shine his light into our sin-darkened hearts and fill us with the light of faith. That precious gift of faith is what enables us to see two tremendous truths. First, the light of faith which God himself has shined into our hearts enables us to see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Only the gospel has the power to reveal to us that the glory of Christ is found in the fact that he is the image of God. The Greek word that's translated here in our text as image is the word icon. This word can also be translated as likeness, form, or appearance. To put it very simply, when we see Jesus, we see the one and only true God. The Lord Jesus emphasized this very same truth on the evening of Maundy Thursday. You may remember that Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." The writer to the Hebrews expresses that exact same truth with these words, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being." Peter, James, and John are eyewitnesses of this truth when Luke tells us that on the Mount of Transfiguration, as Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. But how does the fact that Jesus is the image, the icon of God himself, tie in with the light of the gospel? In an absolutely beautiful, wonderful way, my friends. As I was researching a little bit on that Greek word icon, it became very, very easy for me to see the light of the gospel. Through the power of the gospel, God has removed that dark veil from our eyes. He has cured us of the blindness that the God of this age inflicted upon us, and He changes us. Here in this life, God changes us so that as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our understanding of Holy Scripture, as we grow in our trust in what Jesus has done for us, we regain more and more of God's image, God's icon. In Romans chapter 8, Paul writes, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness, to the icon of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." And a few verses just before our text for today, Paul had written these words, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness, into His icon, with ever-increasing," notice that this is a continuous process, my friends, "with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And then, in eternity, God Himself will change us so that we once again perfectly possess the image of God, the reflection of God's perfection that Adam and Eve lost when they rebelled against their loving Creator. Paul brings that out in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, "And just as we have borne the likeness, the icon of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness, the icon of the man from heaven," who of course is Jesus. In other words, just as Moses and Elijah appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration in glorious splendor, so also shall we. The instant our physical body dies, our soul appears in glorious splendor in our Heavenly Father's home. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns to this earth at the end of the age and raises these physical bodies from the dead, reunites them with our soul, then we will live in glorious splendor for all of eternity. Only the gospel has the power to give us that guarantee. The second truth that Paul brings out in our text is that the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has used the powerful message of the gospel to make His light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. While this truth very closely parallels the first, I see an added extra truth contained in these words. That truth is this: when we look into the face of Christ, as we see it portrayed to us on the pages of Scripture, we are able to see the knowledge of the glory of God. Let's think that through for a moment. When we look at the face of the child of Bethlehem, we are able to see the knowledge of the glory of God in the fact that from all of eternity, God knew that if we were to be saved from our own sin, He would have to send His own Son into this world as our true brother. When we look into the face of the 12-year-old Jesus, who willingly submitted to the authority of His earthly parents, even though they were mortal, sinful human beings, we are able to see the knowledge of the glory of God in the fact that Jesus lived an absolutely perfect life for us, always keeping all of God's law in our place. When we look into the face of Jesus as He cries out from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" we are able to see the knowledge of the glory of God in the fact that the Son of God Himself was willing to endure the fiercest punishment of hell so that you and I would not have to. And when we look into the face of the risen Christ, who said to his fear-filled disciples on that first Easter Sunday, "Peace be with you," we are able to see the knowledge of the glory of God as he assures us that through faith in what he has done for us, we are now at peace. We have true, lasting peace with the God of heaven, not only in this life, but also in eternity. And so, yes, my friends, any time that we want to see, any time we want to understand the glory of God's grace, the glory of God's compassion, the glory of God's love, the glory of God's power, the glory of God's free gift of salvation, all we have to do is look into the face of Jesus, his Son. Light. There is no debate whatsoever as to how important light is. Just as our physical life is dependent on light, so also our spiritual life is dependent on spiritual light, the light that God himself shines into our hearts through his powerful means of grace. May the good Lord grant that as we prepare to leave behind the light-filled season of Epiphany and enter into the solemn season of Lent, that we will always remember and always rejoice in that truth. The light of the Transfiguration continues to shine. To God be the glory. Amen.